We're going through a series on the attributes of God, and I've been enjoying the study, meaning my time in the Word preparing this, and it's been encouraging me, and I hope it's been encouraging to you. Have you ever been disappointed because someone has changed his or her mind? I was doing premarital counseling with a couple. It was, I think, the last session. Their wedding was maybe a month away. They weren't from Trinity, or I wouldn't use this example. And I was talking with them, and he changed his mind. He decided he didn't want to marry her. She was devastated. She was tears, a mess, as you can guess. The good news was, and I was right on this, I told her, I'm not a prophet, but I think you're going to be glad one day. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. But I shared that with her. And actually, a couple years later, that was confirmed. And she stopped by, we chatted, and God brought another young man into her life. Things worked out really, really well. But, you know, it was pretty hard when he changed his mind. I'm not suggesting he was wrong to. I'm simply making the point, it's hard. Nancy and I, before we moved into the house we're in now, about, you know, we moved about 2 years ago, we actually had a contract, an agreement to buy a different house. And I was talking to a gentleman. We talked together. We negotiated a price. Everything's good. We got a contract. He calls me up. He says, Greg, I changed my mind. Yeah, I changed my mind. Now, whatever you want to do, you have to decide. I want to make biblical decisions. Lord, I want to treat others the way I would want to be treated. What would happen if I changed my mind? I would like to think the other guy would say, no worries. So what did I say to him? No worries, right? No worries. I want to treat people the way I want to be treated. It's fine. You know, God obviously has something different for us, and no worries at all. And Lord bless you. You know, no problem at all. Changing your mind, though, can be hard. Question. Does God change his mind? Well, last time we began a discussion on God's unchangeableness, and some call it God's immutability. So today's actually going to be part two of our discussion. Here's our definition, and it's longer than last week. Last week I put up Wayne Grudem's definition from Systematic Theology. What are we talking about? Definition. God is unchanging in his being, perfections, purposes, and promises. That's all we had last week. This week, I'm doing the whole one. Continue. Yet God does act and feel emotions, and he acts and feels differently in response to different situations. So we know the Bible teaches us in various texts, such as Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. God doesn't change. But think about that. This is part two. Question. If God doesn't change, then does he ever change his mind? And does it matter what I do, right? If God has a specific purpose that's not changing, then does it even matter what I do? Because God's going to do what he does and he never changes, right? And so maybe my decisions, my choices in life don't really matter because God never changes in what he does. And is it true that he never changes? I mean, wasn't there a time when I was under his wrath, but now I'm one of his children? So maybe God did change and maybe this is wrong. And that's what we want to address this evening. And here's how we'll answer that. If God doesn't change, then does he ever change his mind? And does it matter what I do? Here's one attempt to answer that. God is unchangeable in how he acts in different situations. However, situations change. And thus, what we do matters. Let me see if I can make that clear tonight, okay? You say, what matters? Couple things. Two things for sure. Number one, based on the scripture, I know that repentance matters. You say, why would you bring that up? I think it'll be obvious once we get into it tonight. I want to use the example of Jonah preaching to the Ninevites. We know that people may turn to God. And that's obviously a good thing. It's a very good thing. You say, okay, so why are you using this as an illustration? Let's be reminded of what the Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. Yet 40 days... and Nineveh will be overthrown. God said, Jonah, go preach this in Nineveh. 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. You say, what happens? You know what happened. Did Nineveh repent? Yes or no? Yes. Was Nineveh overthrown? At least not then, no. So did God change his mind? Because this verse says 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Well, if we go through the passage, we get to verse 10 of Jonah 3. And here's what it says. When God saw their deeds, that is the Ninevites turning from their sin, repenting. Well, there it is, that they've turned from their wicked way. Then God, and I'm reading from a NASB, God relented. The KJV, God repented. And that's a typo. NRSV, New Revised Standard Version, my bad there. God changed his mind. So whether you want to say relent, repent, or change mind, that's what God did concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So remember, going back to verse 4, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But God didn't overthrow them. God relented, NASB repented, KJV changed his mind. Question. So did God change? And I think a better way, and I'll get to this at the end, I think a better way to look at this text is to say people change. God is consistent in how he responds. God is unchanging in how he responds. And God responds to people in a way that's based upon a specific situation. And the situation may change, and yet God is consistent. People may turn to God. Repentance matters. Go backwards. People may turn away from God. And we know that from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11. Again, we're not looking at these in detail just because of time. But, you know, I think many of us are familiar. Samuel revealing for us in 1 Samuel that Saul is now king. And yet Saul is not following God the way he should. I have some specific memories. You know, you hear a lot of preaching. Obviously, you don't remember it all. But Dr. Custer, our former pastor, used to love to preach through Old Testament books one chapter at a time. And I still remember him going through the life of Saul and then him coming to the conclusion in his mind. It's pretty clear that man was not a believer. That man was not one who we would say knew Christ. Now, not everybody would agree with that. Okay. And Saul certainly had his problems. And as Dr. Custer would explain that, it's made a lot of sense to me. Saul, what does he do? Well, it says in 1 Samuel 15, 11, as Saul, not following God. The Lord says, I regret, NASB, KJV, it repenteth me. New Living Translation, I'm sorry that I made Saul king, for he's turned back from following me and has not carried out my commandments. So what did God do? He regretted, he repented, he was sorry that. Does that mean that God changed? I think a better way to say it is no, people change. And now in this situation, God is consistent with his character. And based on that situation at that point in time, God feeling sadness that here is someone not following him. And if somebody says, do you believe then that God repents? In that sense, I would say no. Do you believe God changes? I would say no. But people change. Situations change. And thus, to say that, okay, then what I do doesn't matter would not be accurate. Because repentance matters. We saw that with the Ninevites and Jonah. We saw that with Saul. Secondly, the only other thing we'll talk about tonight is prayer matters. You know, guys, if God's immutable, if he never changes, then why bother praying, right? I mean, because it's not like you're going to pray and then God's going to change. And then some would say, well, there's other reasons to pray, and I want to acknowledge that. But does prayer actually become a factor in what takes place? You know, you could say, I'm praying for a loved one in the hospital. And maybe there's some good things. It's humbling to me. It helps me express my dependence on God. Lots of good things. But does it really change anything? Well, if God's immutable, if God's unchangeable, then one maybe would say prayer doesn't do anything. That's not what we see in the Scripture. One example, Exodus chapter 32, 9 through 14, after the golden calf situation, where God's people are basically involved in idolatry, right? And making a graven image, something they knew they shouldn't do, and they did it anyway. In Exodus 32, I have verses 9 through 11 here on the screen. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses entreated the Lord his God. And what did Moses do? He prayed and he begged God not to destroy the Jewish nation. And he pleaded with God based on his own character. Verse 14. So the Lord changed his mind. NASB. Relented. ESV. Repented. KJV. About the harm which he said he would do to his people. Now, someone could ask the question, do you believe God changed his mind? Personally, I would say no. God doesn't change. People change. You say, what changed in the Ninevite situation? The people repented. Before the people repented, what happened? They were under God's wrath. Now that they repented, they were recipients of God's mercy. God's wrath and mercy are always there. Those attributes are unchanging, but the people changed. Okay? You say, how about this one, Greg? This one's a little bit different. It is. But yet, think about it. Here is God's people running away from him, running to a golden calf, not following him. What changed? Intercessory prayer. Before there was prayer, God says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Then there's intercessory prayer by Moses on behalf of the nation. Something changed. What was it? It was prayer. And now with prayer, God decides, I am not going to destroy my people and make a new nation from Moses. Again, different ways to kind of describe this. But I would argue, even in this situation, we would not say that God actually changed. God is immutable. All of his attributes in all of their perfection, are always operative and real. We are making changes. And thus, maybe this is one way to look at it. I began with Grudem's definition of God never changing. Here's how MacArthur's systematic theology, which is edited by MacArthur and Mayhew, puts it after discussing the same issue. God never changes. But creatures do change. And they perceive God's perfections and actions according to their current state. Thus, God's actions do not imply a change of essence or purpose. God. There was a time when I was under the wrath of God because I had not put my faith in Jesus Christ. That was the first 18 years of my life. I was actively under the wrath of God, and I didn't know it. And then what happened? God graciously and kindly illumined my heart. He did a work of grace in my life so that I realized how much I needed Christ and what the gospel was. And by God's grace and his grace alone, I put faith in Christ. And how did that take place? No doubt in my mind, in part by the prayers of a mom. And my mom coming to Christ maybe 5, 6, 7 years before. I didn't know this at the time, but my mom telling me every single night on her knees praying for her kids and her husband. Okay. You say, do you think her prayers played a role? I do. You say, but we don't change God's mind. Of course not. Think of it like a shovel. If I want to go out into my yard, I'll do this. I trimmed up a bush yesterday out back. I had two bushes that were kind of growing a little bit crazy. I thought I'm going to trim those up. I wanted to get outside, get some fresh air, take a break from studying. I went and I grabbed my cordless hedge trimmer. I grabbed it and I trimmed up a couple bushes real quick, 10 minutes, whatever, just get some fresh air. I used the cordless hedge trimmer. You say, did the hedge trimmer trim the bushes? No, I trimmed the bushes. I decided I will use this tool, and I did what I wanted to do. I believe God does that with prayer. Prayer is not me changing God's mind. Here is a God who makes decisions on what he wants to do. And I'm sure it's not a perfect illustration. But just like I grabbed my cordless hedge trimmers and trimmed up a couple bushes out back, God takes our prayers and he uses them. It's not that we're changing his mind. He's immutable. God is unchanging. But to say that then my prayer doesn't matter would not be accurate. And to say then repentance doesn't matter because God's going to do what he wants to do would also not be accurate. The account of Jonah, especially with the Ninevites, makes it clear repentance matters. The account with Moses makes it clear prayer matters. And yet what? God never changes. We change. Situations change. We will experience different attributes, perhaps, functions of God. But he is an unchanging God. I never have to think, maybe one day I'll be like that girl whose fiancé broke up with her. Man, she was all ready to get married. They had invitations printed. They had all of their plans made. And he pulls out. Wow, that must be hard. God will never do that to you. You never have to be thinking, hey, I'm excited. We finally found a house. We got a contract. Don't know, the guy changed his mind. God will never do that to you. But that does not mean repentance doesn't matter. It does. That does not mean your prayers don't matter. They do. And I hope that this has been helpful for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're an unchangeable God. We never, ever need to fear that somehow you are going to change. And yet, Lord, even from your word tonight, we've seen in these different texts that what we do matters. Repentance matters. Prayer matters. Even the prayers that we're going to pray in a little bit in our shepherd groups, they matter. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we try to think through this, that the result would be a greater confidence in your character, a greater trust in your immutability, and yet also a greater sense that what we do does matter. Even as we've seen in Scripture tonight, well, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.